potions of fact? What do I take a fact to be? A fact is something that's known to be true.
Okay, yeah, what's a good reason to believe that evolution is
true? The evidence.
Well, so, you know, do you think evolution's a noun?
A noun?
Yeah, do you think evolution's a noun?
No, it's sort of a, I don't know what you would call it, but it's like saying the weather. The weather's not a thing. It's a thing that happens, but it's unique and complicated.
Do you want to start up if it's a noun? Because I think maybe I'd inform you, but no, it's a noun, sir. You understand that if it's a noun, it's not truth after, right? So you'll be a category error to just say that. You take it to the case that evolution is true.
Yeah, so well, good thing that I didn't say that evolution is a noun, so.
Wait, so just to clarify, the typical usage is just a noun, so are you saying it takes an idiosyncratic view on evolution?
I don't have a prepackaged response for this, but I told you it's like the weather. The weather is something that happens. Climate. Climate is a known fact of our planet. We absolutely know this, but it's not. But it can't be distilled to one particular thing. So.
Yeah. Like, okay. So how do you know that evolution is true? And yeah, what's the evidence, good sir?
Genetics, the fossil record, comparative anatomy, embryology, and common sense.
Yes, let's go for the first one. So genetics.
Yep.
Conditional genetics, how that subsequently increased the posterior probability of evolution.
What?
I'll just kind of tie it. So I was asking you, conditional on, you know, let's just say genetics, how that subsequently increased the posterior probability of evolution?
Yeah, because if evolution is true, then there are specific predicted evidences that must be true in order for the idea to be true. And genetics was one of them, and then we found that evidence.
But you understand that evolution predicts God, though, right?
No.
Wait, did he say no? I didn't hear you, though.
I did say no.
Oh, yeah, so, I mean, I can just explain how it's kind of obvious, right?
I'm not interested. We're talking about evolution.
Yeah, but if it's the case that evolution predicts God, then it's going to be an issue for you there, right?
It doesn't. Oh. Naturalism doesn't predict the supernatural. That's called category error.
That evolution's you should read
some Kant, then you would know.
Wait, you're just confused. You just said that naturalism is a predictor, which I may agree with, but do you think that evolution's numerically identical to it or committed to it? The obvious answer is no, so that's just irrelevant. But look, I'll ask a simpler question, sir. So do you take some view in which, if we want to say something along the lines of, you know, I know X and X is an equivalent solution of Y, ergo I know Y, would you take a view like that? It's just typically, you know, coined as, you can say, existentialism.
I don't do anything like that. If something is true, then there should be evidence for it, and we have evidence for the thing. So therefore, we have good reasons for believing the thing is true.
Yeah, be honest, if you take my view, that's just to imply that you think that there exist things in which you'd want to say they're not salvo veritate under certain context, but they are salvo veritate under all contexts. That's kind of absurd, because you want to say things like, you know, Lois Lane knows that Superman can fly, but she doesn't know that Clark Kent can fly. But under your view, that's just to imply that she does know, even though she doesn't. That's just going to be really absurd, doesn't you think so?
Yeah, good thing I don't believe in superheroes. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you, but if evolution is true, then there has to be specific discoverable genetic evidence of it, and that genetic evidence has been discovered. So we have supporting evidence for evolution.
Why would you take direct realism to be true?
What?
Yeah, sir. Why would you believe that your sense data is reliable, good sir?
I came up with words to say to the guy on the internet. What is it like to be you people? I don't understand. And I use people in air quotes, by the way. I don't understand why you people are like this. It's so pathetic.
You know I'm Jewish, so are you just referring to the fact I'm Jewish, or?
No, I'm referring to the fact that you know that the evidence is against you, so you come up with convoluted little word games to be like, Well, actually, if I defer to the third divide transmogrifier of the square root of that no, time my that uncle cool. molested me, then actually evolution actually falls into this category error where it isn't actually true. Nobody cares. We have the evidence. You know we have the evidence. So you come up with dumb word games to try to protect your feelings. Nobody cares. It's over for you idiots. We have the proof. 3,000 years old.
Look, I just think that there's good reasons to believe 1,000 years old. I think it's 500 years old. So, man. Can I speak, sir?
No, not really.
I'm really sorry, sir. Give me another chance. Okay, I'm really sorry. Okay, sir. So I'm begging. I'm really begging it.
If evolution were true, what would the evidence look like?
The evidence would be some transitive relation, right? Or it's going to be some sort of binary relation or Cartesian product. Something like that.
No. The evidence of evolution will not be some philosophical jargon. What would the evidence be if evolution were true?
Might be a ceiling function. You might want to say there's some sort of ceiling function. You might want to say it's a density function. Something like that, sir.
Explain what a ceiling function is.
Yeah, I'll explain. So I just put it using separate notation. So you want to say that some ceiling function is something like, you could say min, set n is an element of integers, such that set of integers, right?
No, so the evidence of evolution being true will not be some sort of bizarre mathematical, philosophical equation. That's not how it works.
I was going to put you on.
If evolution were true, what would the evidence look like?
What would the
evidence be, actually? Let's see if we can do this much more simply. If you were 6 feet tall, what would the evidence of that claim look like?
Yeah, it would look like some sort of Hamiltonian graph.
You're absolutely an insufferable dipshit. Goodbye.
Well, I'm just trying to be honest with you.
These people, again, people in quotation marks, just unbelievable. Stupidity never dies. It evolves. Get your signed copy with the link below. How can something be a scientific theory and a fact at the same time? Because facts are things that are known to be true. Knowledge is justified true belief. Evidence is a really good justification. And true is that which corresponds with reality. Science is concerned in investigating all of those things. And something only becomes a scientific theory once thousands of people have spent millions of hours confirming all the underlying ideas.
Okay, thank you for the clarification.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to that rhetoric, what would be a major difference between like a hypothesis and a scientific theory?
A hypothesis is a tentative. A lot of people say it's an untested explanation for something, but I don't know. Some hypotheses have been around forever, and maybe a big reason for that is because we just haven't found a way to test them yet. But most people's idea of what a hypothesis is it's a tentative explanation for a particular phenomena, right? But many hypotheses can be tested, and once you have an enormous number of confirmed hypotheses that all converge toward the same thing, then that builds a scientific theory. Theories also contain laws are also embedded in a lot of theories as well. So,
oh, okay.
It's like, yeah, I mean, you. If we, I don't know, is there something like in everyday life, like a political party? If I am this one guy and I say, you know what, I'm going to start the ban anime political party, and I'm the only person in it. Well, it's not actually really a political party. And even if I like go online and I register and I pay $7 or whatever, am I really a political party? No, but, you know, if I were to actually run and a bunch of other people register and like I get millions of votes or something, then yeah, maybe at that point, like, this is a real thing, right? But it doesn't become that until all this support comes in. Now, I was just like, I literally never thought of that before, so maybe that was a terrible analogy, but I don't know.
That's a pretty interesting analogy. I never thought about it like that. Yeah, I was just under, like, scientific writer, I was just a bit confused on what major differentiates a hypothesis and a theory. And
right,
I was looking at the, like, hominin fossil record today, and particularly Australopithecus afarensis, which is what Lucy is made up of. And so how do you determine when there are missing links in the fossil chain? How are you able to determine which fossils are which, if there are missing links? Or is it just like filling in missing puzzle pieces?
I don't know what you mean by determine which are which, like what they are, or if they really are a missing link. I don't know what you actually mean by that.
I mean, like, which type of fossils they are. Like, if you're not getting the whole picture.
Like, what kind of, like, organism it is?
Yeah.
Oh, you just do that through, like, a skeletal analysis. Paleontologists are, they've seen so many in the field that they can often look at just one and they already know what, like, it'll be pretty broad. They won't know the specific species it'll be, but they'll know, oh, this is a reptile humerus bone or whatever. I've seen a million of them. We know what they look like. Ideally, you want to get, you know, like 20, 30, 50, 60% complete skeletons, and that just makes it so obvious to the point where, you know, you don't, like, we know what it is. Although there are some anomalies. There are some things that defy classification, but very few of them, actually.
Okay, thank you for that. I was also wondering, so I was just talking to somebody that said evolution is a myth, but they said that we can't trust the process of, like, radiometric dating because it doesn't provide accurate results.
Yes, it does. And it just
I'm
does.
Not saying I don't believe in,
I know
I believe
know.
In that. Yeah, I'm just saying that's why I heard somebody else. I was like, what would you say to that?
So they typically use there are, like, three examples that they use. One is they tried to radiocarbon date. There are actually two that are really similar. They tried to radiocarbon date some snails, and they got and they were, like, living snails, and they killed them and crushed them up and threw them through the whatever. And they get dates of, like, tens of thousands of years old. But that's because they live in salt water. To build their shells, they use dissolved limestone. Mm-hmm. But that limestone rock is full of carbon, but it's really old. So the snails are incorporating extremely old material into their shells. The oceans are carbon sinks. This is something that is just known. That's one of the things they use to try to say, oh, blah, blah, blah. They also, there's another one that's a lot more specific, but what I usually, now that's like, if they bring up that example, that's what you can use. What I usually do with them is I say, I bring up the fact that Pompeii, for example, we have carbon dated tons and tons of artifacts from that city, and the carbon dating always says, yep, I mean, there's like a range of error, because there always is, but the dates always say, yep, erupted in 79 AD, just, or 70 or 79, I can't remember, whenever it is.
Yeah, so around that time.
They don't dispute that. So then you have to ask them, why is it that carbon dating works here and then for some reason magically stops working in other places? They have no answer to that. This is just something they say out of desperation because they know that the data is not on their side. But it's also, the other thing you can bring up is this is a complete non-starter because you don't date the age of the Earth or dinosaur fossils using carbon dating. Carbon dating can only go back like 60,000 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's what my professor told me. So, thank you for that clarification. So, as I understand, radiometric dating is different from radiocarbon dating because it's a...
Well, carbon dating is a type of radiometric dating.
Oh, okay. So, it's a type. So, it's like...
Yeah.
Radiometric is like the tree and radiocarbon is like a branch, that sort of thing? Or is that a bad analogy?
It's not even like that. Just imagine a big circle, and that circle is carbon dating, and then smaller circles inside it are all the different types of carbon dating. Like humanity, there's me and there's you. We're both humans. We're inside that circle. So you can use rubidium strontium, uranium lead dating, potassium argon dating. There are many radiocarbon dating. There are many different radioactive elements that we can do radiometric dating with.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He also said that we can't, the younger fruitionist I was talking to, he said we can't trust radiometric dating because we weren't actually there to see it for ourselves, like to physically observe it like we would with other scientific stuff.
Yeah, you literally, you literally don't even need to. We have techniques for it, like isochron dating. Isochron dating is a method of doing radiocarbon dating that deletes. You don't need to know how much material you start with or anything like that. The isochron date lines all converge to the same point, but they're gonna make some sort of argument, probably also like, well, God could have created the Earth 6,000 years ago, but he made the samples look old. So like they already had ratios of isotopes in them that appear old, which makes God a liar for absolutely no reason, whatever. But what you can do with that can be dismantled through consilience. So consilience is when you have all these different disciplines that all give you the exact same answer. So carbon dating or other types of dating, we can actually take, and this has been done in several different places. You take a site and you can count things like the mud layers at the site. So you can, because there are annual deposits, and you can count the layers there. You can count the tree rings, and you can carbon date samples there. They all tell you the same answer. So you can say, sure, go ahead and disbelieve or say that you can't have faith in the radio, in the isotopes or whatever. That doesn't mean it's false. It just means you can't trust it. Then what you need to do is find an outside source that can tell you whether or not your assumptions about the radiometric dating are true. And we can do that with tree ring dating and sediment layers, and there's probably a few other techniques as well. And that's done all the time. And we always find that all the other data says the same thing the other data does. So it's over for them.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And you know, how I understand radiometric dating is that it's determined for, like, half-lives, which are, like, is parent isotopes, and they're used to stable daughter products within a sample. Is that correct?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Well, that was all the questions I had today. I actually do believe in evolution. I was just wondering how to better combat, like, young earth creationists.
Well, the best way to do that is to buy my book, because this book literally just is, I took all the things creationists say and I debunked every single one of them. But then they came up with some new ones, so I came out with part two.
Oh, they have more? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'll look into the book, see if it's worth getting. Thank you for speaking with me
Oh,
today.
It totally is.
All right, see ya.
See ya. Get a free book, 2 free audiobooks, and ad-free videos by becoming a Patreon member.